Seth Speaks. I'm Seth Rudetsky, and here's my introduction song. I tried to get a rhyme. Here we go. I can't. I was going to rhyme her name with Rosie O'Donnell, but I realized it's kind of a cheat because the second half of the name is the exact same. It's Mary McDonnell. But I could have done, I'm an introducer. What the hell? It's her daughter, Olivia Mel. So it's Olivia Mel and Mary McDonnell. So first of all, why the two different last names, Olivia Mel?
Well, Mel is my dad's last name, and my mom was already established as McDonald before I was born, so it was she didn't take my dad's name because she was established before they got married.
Unlike Debbie Shapiro Gravitt. Okay, right, so this all began because Mary McDonald, who you may know from a certain movie called Dancing with Wolves, Oscar nomination, you may know, she emailed me because your daughter Olivia is a songstress, and Jason Alexander, not to name drop, said that you should chit-chat with me. By the way, I think your microphone is 800 miles away from your mouth. What's that about?
Yes, it is. Wow.
Yes, I'm going to have to move that closer.
Excellent.
Okay, so, Mary, you emailed me and you said, listen to my daughter. I listened and I thought she was amazing. But let me talk about your career for just a moment, Mary McDonald. Where are you actually from?
I was born in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Wilkes-Barre?
Wilkes-Barre. It's outside of Scranton.
No, I know, but isn't it pronounced Wilkes-Barre?
No, darling. Then Wilkes-Barre.
Then what did I take when I did ballet for all those years? The Barry? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Isn't it spelled B-A-R-E? Back me up on that, people. All right,
well, it is Wilkes-Barre.
I never know how to do it.
The Wilkes-Barre Scranton area in the Lehigh Valley.
Can I ask one more question? Isn't that where I mailed all my college tuition? You know, isn't it? Isn't that where Sally Mae is?
Yeah, something there. Something in Wilkes-Barre.
Sally Mae. Okay, so you were born there, which is a hub of theater. Anybody? No, what is it? What did you do?
I lived there for a year, and then we moved to New York, different parts of New York, and I ended up in Ithaca, New York, and then in college I started doing theater.
In college you began theater?
Yeah.
What the hell were you doing up until college?
Cheerleading and swimming. I was an athlete.
Oh, such similar childhood to me.
Yeah. I was thinking that earlier when you were talking about the jock kids.
Yes. What did he say? I'm starting five.
Yeah, I knew what that meant.
Cut. Okay, so, not interested. Okay, so you were in college. What was your first big play?
The Crucible. I played Mercy Lewis.
Oh, wow.
And my audition was very exciting because I never auditioned for a play. And fortunately, I got to do something because we had to see The Yellow Bird. And apparently, I saw Yellow Bird.
You know, Mercy's the one who's like, I'm being attacked by witches.
Yes.
So yours was really, you had a slight screw loose, brava.
Yes.
Okay, so you got the gig, and did the acting bug hit you? Is that what happened?
Yes, that was it.
And then what was your major supposed to be?
I was sort of liberal arts, sort of lost, directionless.
Olivia, what was your major in college?
I was lost for a while, but I ended up in theater arts.
Okay, but I think a lot of people would say you're still lost. But whatever. If you're in theater, it's not really called major.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so Mare graduated, and then what, moved to New York City?
Yeah, eventually.
Because you became a Broadway lady. You became a lady of the stage.
I became a lady of the stage after years of being a lady. I was off, many years.
MidtownMarchMedley.com. Well, what do you mean by that, dear?
Well, just a lot of plays around town until I did Barry Child, Sam Shepard's Barry Child.
That's a creepy play. Now, why did you not do like most people do and move to L.A. and become a TV star?
I wasn't really thinking about it. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't really an ambition. It was all new to me.
But did you want to make money? Like, how did you make money when you graduated?
Oh, I did everything. I waitressed and I sold Fuller Brush in Rockefeller Center.
You graduated in 1931?
Yeah.
Fuller Brushes? Like, do they
sell? Don't I look good?
No, good. That's like, I worked at the Automat.
No, but it is like that. But
what's a Fuller Brush? I've never heard of that. Funny. What is it?
It's a company that sold great brushes. And they were everything from hair brushes to brushes.
You don't have to sell me, by the way. She's literally like, you gotta buy it. It's amazing.
No, but you know, my territory was Rockefeller Center. And because I had long hair down to here, I sold a lot of brushes.
Rockefeller Center, that's right where we're taping right now. It's your old haunt.
I know. I was going to go in and knock and see if anyone remembered me.
Wait, Olivia, did you know your mother sold Fuller Brushes?
I actually did, yes. Huh. And she also sold bags and belts, right?
Oh, yeah, for Anne Klein.
Oh, Anne Klein, that really still exists.
Yeah.
Okay, so Barry Child, Sam Shepard, I have a big crush on him. Did you have a crush on him? And what's with the gap?
Yes. What's what?
What's with the gap?
The gap.
And the teeth. Does he have a gap in his teeth?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Anybody back me up on that? Does he have a gap in his teeth?
I don't think he does.
He has something going on teeth-wise.
I don't know.
Silence from my audience? No one's backing me up on this? Oh, come on.
He has a killer smile no matter what.
I have a crush on him, but I know he doesn't have straight teeth. All right, get back to me.
He's very handsome.
So who are you, Mary Child? Not the title role.
Shelley, the girl in the rabbit coat. Girlfriend.
You did the original version?
I did.
Oh, my God, how cool.
It was.
What's he like to work with? I assume dark and made no eye contact.
He wasn't there.
Thank you. Exactly what I assumed.
You know, I didn't meet him for about a year and a half. Because we did it. We did it almost for 2 years in different, in, you know, Circle Rep and then Theatre de Lille. We moved in. And then somewhere in that, I had a 2 week vacation. I went to San Francisco and that's where I met him.
Wait, so you didn't even meet him after a child?
No.
I love it.
I know.
So then, okay, so that sort of started. That was a big deal. And what
was
your first
deal?
You did Heidi Chronicles, and what was your birthday?
I did Heidi Chronicles. I was the cleanup batter. I was the last Heidi. It was really great.
There were so many. Name all the Heidis before you. There were amazing women that did it.
Oh, Joan Allen.
Yes.
Christine Lottie.
Yes.
Married to Tony Shalhoub. That's where they met. Who's married to Tony Shalhoub?
She just did Let Me a Tenor.
She's amazing.
Oh, God. Back me
Brooke
up.
Adams.
Brooke Adams. That's who I saw.
And
who I
they
saw.
Met. Brooke and Tony met doing Heidi Chronicles. And they fell in love, and they're still happily married with beautiful children and things like that.
So you were Heidi?
I was Heidi.
Such a great show. Tell everybody what it's about, people out there that don't know Heidi Chronicles.
Heidi Chronicles is about a woman who comes of age during
The 60s,
really. And she was an art professor. The great late Wendy Wasserstein read this play. What it was really about when you were inside of it was the early navigation of being a bright woman with a sense of humor who didn't really follow the rules, mm-hmm. but still had enough sort of classic structure in her to have to struggle with that.
Right, like she's
very
not,
beautiful.
Doesn't want to be the housewife, but at the same time does want a
does
relationship.
Does want a relationship.
Such
yeah.
a great, beautiful show.
Yeah.
So that's your first little title role on Broadway. Was it everything yeah. you wanted it to be?
Yes, it really was. It was a little sad because my mom passed away during the run.
Oh my
and,
God.
So it had that extra emotional resonance. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh my God, yeah.
And they were all really beautiful about it. It was towards the end, and I couldn't get home the day she passed away, so I did the show. We did it for her.
In a sense, it's better to like have structure when like a real tragedy is going
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So but she was very, very proud because it you know, there I was, and she was a big fan.
It's nice. I know a lot of people whose parents passed away before their kids got success, so it's
right.
it's nice your mom at least got to know that.
I'll tell you a really quick story.
Let me hear.
Okay. About my mom and all of this. That was also when they were editing Dances with Wolves, and they were testing it. So
you had filmed it already, and you were on
Broadway? And I was doing Heidi Chronicles, already filmed it, and I got a call from Kevin Costner, and he said, is your mom going to make it to the premiere in Washington? And I said, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
And then a few days later, this package arrived at my sister's home in Ithaca, where we lived, and he had sent some footage for my mother to see.
Wow.
And we drove to the hospital, and they brought a little
VCR.
Monitor in, and we put it in, and she sat there and saw some of Dances with Wolves, and
what a
and that
classy
was
thing to do.
Whoa, you aren't kidding. Lifelong friend.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's because it's so important to parents. Oh, that's, okay, that's incredibly beautiful. Now, Olivia, were you born at this time? You look so young.
Well, I actually turned 2 on the prairie when she was filming Dances with Wolves.
In a teepee.
We had a party. And I had a pancake breakfast with a 2-year-old candle on it. And
you see pictures, I assume? You don't really remember, do you?
Well, you know, the one thing I do remember.
It's no air conditioning.
I remember the buffalo because as a 2-year-old
it's so true.
It's true. When you're a 2-year-old and you're next to a giant wild beast, you don't that's with you forever. But they were very tame and wonderful.
Wow.
She made friends with the buffalo.
I made friends with the I was the buffalo whisperer
exactly.
when I was 2, you know.
God. Okay, so what's unbelievable about you, Mary, and I think so inspiring to so many actors out there, is that you were just sort of a working actor, and then, quote-unquote, late in life, meaning your late 30s, you got this lead in a movie and an Oscar nomination, which I think most people think, if I haven't made it by 29, that's it. So how did you keep acting and not go, oh, forget it, I'm just going to go back to the Fuller Brush Company?
Well, because I was doing a lot of plays, and I wasn't really aspiring that directly to do film and television.
Oh.
And
oh, is that the whole, like, don't ever want a boyfriend, and then when you finally don't, you get one? Is it that stupid theory? Like, I didn't want an Oscar nomination, so I got one.
Well, it's kind of like, it wasn't quite that.
Sounds like it.
I mean, it was in the back of my mind. I think I won an Oscar. No. I just, my ambitions weren't there, and then it came, and then things changed.
So, go back. How did you get Dances with Wolves in the first place?
Well, I had been doing a play at the Guthrie, And I came back, and we were doing Three Sisters, I believe it was. And we came back into town, and my manager, still my manager, said, Mary, Kevin Costner's doing this cowboy and Indian movie, and they want you to read for it. And I said, what?
Yeah, based on
where?
What?
Like, what? Why? I mean, who?
Did he buy a brush from you? Like, how did you know?
I don't know. That's kind of like my thought. He must have heard about my long hair. And I said, well, okay, has anybody read it? And she said, no, they're not giving it out. So, but we hear it's good. And I said, well, I'd really love to read it. And so then she called.
Wait, you had the nerve to be like, I don't want to audition until I read it?
Well, I wasn't like that. I just said I'd like to read the material. There's nothing arrogant about that. I mean, really, think about it. We need to read the material. Do we
not? I don't know. I'm sort of like, I'm such a whore. I'm just like, I'll take it. It's like 100%. But okay, now you're more of a real actor. Okay, go on, go on. So I love
it. No, I'm not more of a real actor. I just wanted to read it. And then they said, yes, you can go down to the hotel and read it in the casting director's suite.
Oh, you can't take it out.
You can't take it out. That's okay. All it really was. So I went down and I read it and I loved it. And I made an appointment and I auditioned.
Well, basically, but what was it based on? How did Kevin Costner know who you were?
Oh, this is a better story. Go. Back to Susan Sarandon.
Wow.
Yep.
Balls are her business.
Yeah. She is a very smart lady and I owe her a lot.
She is. By the way, she looks amazing.
She does. She and I lived across from each other in a very cheap apartments down in the Lower East Side. She actually didn't live there. She was dating someone who was my friend who did live there.
Work.
So we used to hang out in the hallway and talk.
And smoke.
Yes.
I knew it. Okay.
We smoked cigarettes, talked in the hallway, and we kind of became friendly and fans, you know. So Kevin was having dinner with Susan and Tim Robbins the night that he auditioned me. And they got to dinner, and Susan said, did you meet anyone today that you liked? And he said, well, there was this woman. And she read for me, and I've never heard of her. And she was actually kind of amazing. Huh. She said, what's her name? And he said, Mary McDonald. And Susan said, hire her. Stop. Go no further. You found your girl.
Oh.
And then he looked at some footage of another movie I'd done, and then we had dinner, and then he hired me.
Oh, my God. So she put in the brava.
She did put in the brava. Big brava, too.
Okay, so I assume from the Buffalo story, you did not film in a soundstage. You filmed on location.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
What the hell was that? It sounds horrific. That would make me want to quit the movie. It sounds horrific. Was there a 4-star hotel nearby?
No.
Where did you live in a trailer?
Holiday Inn.
Holiday Inn.
How did you?
Rapid
what's
City.
What's the 2-year-old memory?
I'm in a nostalgic phase right now where I'm watching old home movies and my dad like videotaped our whole lives.
Oh
so
my God.
There's all this beautiful footage of the prairie and.
What state was it in? Wyoming.
South Dakota.
South Dakota. Okay, so you filmed the movie Mare. By the way, what was the hardest scene in the movie to film? Tell us. Use your microphone, dear. Use your words.
Yes, I will, darling. The hardest scene, I would have to say the hardest thing for me was a scene when the Pawnee were coming to take us, to attack us, and we were trying to figure out how to survive that. And the others had to go, and they had to leave us, so it had to be mostly women and children. And a few, that's why it was hard, because I believe it was real.
Oh, she's an actual actress. Okay, go on.
And it was just a very complex, emotional scene that we had to do with, in Lakota, in the language. And so there had to be rhythm to it. Because
how the age did you learn that language? There's no Berlitz for it, is there?
No.
Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta. There's going to be a Rosetta. I'm making it. No. No.
How did you learn? They just tape it for you and you just copy?
They were wonderful. There was a woman, the late Doris Leader Charge, and she is the wife of one of the chiefs of the tribe on the Rosebud at the time, and she recorded all of our lines and sent it to us beforehand, and then she was our coach during the show.
Oh, my God.
So and then that was the most technically difficult one.
How did you find out that you were nominated for an Oscar?
Oh, someone called me.
So you weren't like, what, you weren't watching it? Did they show it on TV? I don't even know if they do that anymore. That's maybe I'm thinking
they
of the
call you early in the morning. And tell you.
What happened? Did you void? I knew it.
Oh, you know me so well.
Exactly.
No, I don't know. It was just thrilling.
So, and then when you actually went to the Oscars, first of all, who did you wear?
Oh, Armani. Armani, yeah.
And who the hell had the nerve to win that year?
Whoopi Goldberg.
For Sister Act?
For Ghost.
All right, whatever. Some chutzpah. Okay, Annie to the Who.
No, but I have to tell you about Olivia.
He doesn't say, Olivia, I want to know, because the last time I emailed with you, you were performing at McGraw, well, that's called the Triad.
Yes.
Where I performed that time. Yes. But now where are the HU performing?
Well, right now, we're sort of on a hiatus from the show that the cabaret that I did, getting back to developing it more, because it's always a work in progress.
Yes, I know that. MidtownMartsMedley.com, we're developing. Keep going.
And we did it, the first time we did it was last June at the Laurie Beachman on 42nd, and then we did it again in November at the Triad, and who knows where it's going to be next.
54 Below.
Yeah, yes. Wouldn't that be nice?
Okay, so
yeah.
I want you to sing, you brought this, one of my favorite shows, title of the show.
Oh.
You're singing one of the songs from it, yeah. Way back to then. It's a little after your time, because it's about listening to Andrew McArdle, and I assume that you probably listened more to Francis Ruffell as a child, 10 years later. But I'm obsessed with this song, so this is Olivia Mel, daughter of Mary McDonnell, singing the song. Okay, and by the way, do you have a website where people can see? Because I love that video I saw.
I'm working on a website right now. It's under construction.
Midtown March Medley. Oh, you know, you can go to you can go to just YouTube and look up the name Olivia Mel.
Yes, you can.
Okay, do you want to stand or sit?
I guess I'll stand.
For diaphragm support.
Yeah.
Okay.
So can I tell a quick story while she's standing?
Mary McDonnell, hit it.
Okay, I was going to the Oscars for Dances with Wolves, and I was all dressed, and I came downstairs, and Olivia was standing there, and she was standing there in her little red sparkle shoes.
I was obsessed with the Wizard
Dorothy. And she came over to me, and she said, Mama. And I said, what? She goes, come here. And I leaned down, and she said, those aren't the right shoes. And I so trusted her, I said, would you want to show me what you think I should wear? And she said, yes. And she looked at everyone. There were about 15 people there seeing us off. And she said, we'll be right back.
How old are you at this point?
She was three or four. And she took me upstairs.
Yes.
And she said, those would be better. And I put them on and I said, you know, I think you're right. And we just went
back. Wait a minute. And were they red sparkle shoes?
No, but they were better.
That would have been great.
Okay, Olivia Mel, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Dancing in the backyard, Kool-Aid mustache and butterfly wings, hearing Andrea McArdle sing from the hi-fi in the den. I've been waiting my whole life to find a way back to them. I aim for the sky. A 9-year-old can see so far. I'll conquer the world and be a star. I'll do it all by the time I'm 10. I would know that confidence if I knew a way back to then. So I bailed on my hometown and became a college theater dork. I was eastbound and down, moving to New York. So I crammed my life in a U-Haul to find my part of it all. But the mundane sets in. We play by the rules and plow through the days. The years take us miles away from a time we wondered when we'd find a way back to them. And when you least expect, opportunity walks through the door. You suddenly connect with the thing that you forgot that you've been looking for. Craziest of company, you're having a kick-ass time, being who you wanted to be in this world. You're that little girl with your wings unfurled, flying again. Back in the backyard dancing, I found a way back to them.
Bravo, Mary and Olivia!
Thank you, sir.
SiriusXM stars.
Sexy.
Smart.
I love it.
Sassy.